previously on the Supporting Act podcast.
Now, tell me now, are you now or have you ever been a communist?
I just want to tell the truth.
You're weird.
Well then fuck all of you!
I'm gonna cry.
Let's get down and dirty.
And me with my dick out.
Oh my god, it's my daughter!
I'll set you on fire, Rob Schneider.
I would love to act in a musical.
Hey, this is life, whatever. La-di-da-di. I don't know, it's not working because I tried to download the download to my downloads and then I downloaded the download.
This is crazy, man. I can't believe it.
I saw things out of a Pasolini movie in real life, you know? It was like Sallow in a hotel room in Las Vegas.
The key to writing is to not do the first thing that pops into your head.
You should avoid watching people through windows.
I love the spiked bleach blonde hair. I wish I had spiked bleach blonde hair.
Everything makes me anxious.
I'm gonna shine a light on all this bullshit.
Yeah, I bet there's no dead bodies or drugs in here.
Why am I happy you're crying?
Do I look like I have a plan to you? I'm in a bathrobe and Crocs.
This week on a very special Supporting Act podcast.
What the hell am I gonna do with the rest of my career? Nothing.
You're listening to episode number 23 of the Supporting Act podcast, in which I phone stand-up comedian Mark Forward. Mark and I talk about his upcoming gig on the 31st of May at the Park Theater in Winnipeg, Manitoba. We also get into award ceremonies and the CBC. What's not to love? Stay tuned, you might learn something. You're listening to episode number 23 of the Supporting Act podcast. My name is Matt Moskal. I'll be your host. I'm a musician by trade, a journalist by education, and a one-man barbershop trio.
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 The fourth guy, he quit recently. So if you're not familiar with the show, this is the program where we illuminate the careers of musicians, comedians, artists, just shy of the mainstream spotlight. And my guest this week is an absolutely fantastic stand-up comedian out of Toronto, Ontario, originally from Oakville, actually. He was a regular cast member on Mr. D. He's done many of the major Canadian comedy festivals, and he has just started producing his own series of comedy shows across the country. It's none other than Mr. Mark Forward. Now, if you're not familiar with Mark's particular brand of humor, I thought I'd play a clip from his album that was released earlier this year called Things I Thought Of.
Guys, I'm going to do a joke that's not even finished. Because that's how fucking confident I am that I'm awesome. I...
Shut up! This joke is not even finished. This joke is about bees. Hey, have you guys noticed, bees? I mean, when they fly close to us, we're like, get out of here! Get out of here, bee! We freak out! I mean, what's that all about? A lot of people say, hey, well, Mark, well, why did the bee keep coming back at me? I'm like, well, at first it got caught in your wind current. But now it wants to ask you, what was that all about?
You can hear more of that bit and many more by finding Mark's album, Things I Thought Of, on iTunes. It's only $10 and it's hilarious. Now, Mark Forward is coming to Winnipeg, Manitoba to the Park Theater on May 31st. Tickets are $17 in advance. He's doing a show at 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. And the Park Theater happily arranged for me to conduct this phone interview. I'm very phone interview shy, personally. You've probably heard my encounter with Dick Valentine. That was, not my shining, finest hour. But I got to sit in a nice, studio at UMFM and used their outbound dialing system. And I got a hold of Mark while he was in a pub in Toronto, Ontario, and it really made all the difference, to be honest with you. I was extremely comfortable chatting with him. We just really got along, I think. About is you're originally from Oakville, Ontario, right?
That is correct.
A creative type that comes out of an area like that, do you tend to find that it almost feels like you're kind of not geared towards a career in the arts?
Well, when I was, because I'm an old fogey.
Yeah.
When I lived there, it was quite a small town. It wasn't as sterile as it is now.
No?
No. It was more of a small village. I don't know where I got the bug from. It certainly wasn't from my environment.
No.
But it wasn't the suburb it is now.
No. Yeah, now, there's a local comic in Winnipeg named J.D. Renault. I believe you've spoken with him in the past, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I understand that, like, J.D. has a joke about, like, the fact that there are benches in Oakville now that are named after the old people that sat on those benches years ago.
That sat on those benches and died.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sat there and fed the ducks.
Yeah.
Just wishing they had something else to do.
I'd like to age gracefully. I'd like to have something to do when I'm old. I mean, do you see yourself?
You won't, bud. You're going to end up on a bench like the rest of us. It's the only reason benches exist.
Yeah.
Think about it. When was the last time you just stopped and sat on a bench?
I think I was, like, sweating profusely and, like, going through things in my backpack, making sure that I wasn't, you know...
Right. And how much time did you spend there?
I don't know, 30 seconds?
Yeah. You didn't spend the day.
No. They're just these gentle, progressive, gradual deathbeds, huh?
Well, I think they give them a destination.
Yeah.
They give them somewhere to go in the morning. I'm going to go by the bench and see if Jerry's there.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not. Guess I better get my suit pressed.
Yeah. So, one thing about phone interviews, and I'm just gonna spell this out early on. Like, I don't do a ton of phone conversations.
Okay.
They're almost up there with, like, morning, radio talk shows for me, because I know that there's a certain degree of disconnect that happens, not being able to really look a person truly in the eye while doing them.
100%.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for doing this.
And you can't see the hookers that I have here.
I was just listening to your episode of Angry Loners, actually, on my way to do this interview, where you talked about doing a conversation with another radio show in Winnipeg.
And yes.
It was kind of a really disheartening thing to hear, just that because I come from a journalism background, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think from a comedy background, from a journalism background, it's just really painful to hear two people basically just doing the lowest form of both, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, I can tell from your first question that this is going to go okay. So I don't get my back up. I don't get upset.
Yeah.
But, yeah, especially those guys, were so aggressive. And I just don't understand, why do you have me there? Morning radio is the worst thing.
Because no one's gaining anything from it. You're just going to be at what, like an LCBO, corporate event, and you're going to be like the guy introducing the president of the company, and you're going to have a list of like ribs to say about like the other guys in the room.
Or you're going to be introducing a comedy contest.
Yeah.
They seem to love to do that, and judging them, which always drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I've seen so many morning radio guys judging comedy. They failed at it. Why are they judging it?
Yeah. You've got a few comedy awards on your mantle, like Best Newcomer for Canadian Comedy Award, Homegrown Winner for Just for Laughs, Writing Canadian Comedy Award for your work on The John Doerr Show. I mean, obviously there's a whole thing about should people really ever read reviews about their own career? Does it stop them from reading in their own voice? Like, do you ever feel like having awards like that, that it's at all, like, stifling in a way to the creative process?
Because
because we're not used to people patting us on the back. We're used to the bullshit and the coming off stage, coming to the back of the room, and all the other comics going, "Yeah, it was all right."
Yeah.
yeah. No, I mean, I have never put any stock in awards. I think they're nice when you win them.
Yeah.
But they're also ridiculous when you don't. So, I always find that everyone argues about, you know, when a non-deserving human wins. Well, I don't think you can be on both sides of the coin. Either you like awards or you don't.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But to me, I go because there's beer.
Yeah.
And I get to mock people behind their back.
No, that's...
that's so mean.
You can be kind of a quiet Joan Rivers on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I get a real love of watching the people that you know.
Yeah.
I love winning.
Yeah.
And to me, I'd rather just keep doing funny stuff. And if the stuff you're doing wins an award, then great, you're doing okay. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's funny because I've read critics that have praised me.
Right.
And then the next week they're praising someone I think is absolutely terrible. So...
It's kind of like when you listen back to like Weezer's lesser albums and then listen back to their earlier ones and they're like, were they always this bad or is it just me?
Yeah. So, I mean, you take everything with a grain of salt, but I've been very fortunate to work on some good things and have people recognize me. But let's not forget, I've also lost Best Stand-Up 3 years in a row.
Yeah, the nomination can kind of be sort of cutting. Just the idea that your name is up there for 5 minutes and then what kind of praise do you get from the nominee? It's like, there he goes. He's a nominee.
There he goes. Yeah. Well, it's like the 4,000 people that have lost American Idol.
Yeah.
But they were great for a bit.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit about the nominee.
I actually interviewed the first Canadian Idol winner a few years back, and he just seemed really, really bitter. He just seemed to want to, like, reclaim his artistic integrity. He just kind of wanted to reclaim, like, he's in a band now, he's touring, he's hitting the road, he wants to be the self-made man, because just because he won some game show and did a bunch of autograph signings in Walmart parking lots, he's like, that's not who defines me as a person, basically.
Right. Right. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, that's why you gotta be kind of careful in this business, because you can get labeled pretty quickly for something stupid.
Yeah. There's one thing that we were talking about winning the award versus not winning the award and whether or not it matters, and we were talking about undeserving and what we consider deserving people. That's all based on personal preference, but there's a thing in professional wrestling I find really interesting, and that is that... which is not an amazing way to start a sentence, by the way, but basically you have, sometimes you have people that the fans are really rallying for to become, you know, the number one guy in a company, and the company will suppress them and hold them back. And then when they finally win, it's like, well, creative doesn't know where to go with that because you had the end of the story. Now this person's on top. They've won this award. They've received the praise that they quote unquote deserve. Well, where do you go from there? Right.
Exactly, but if you look at that happens in life.
Exactly.
Because, you know, Justin Bieber hits the top, and then everyone wants to just knock it down because there's nowhere else for him to go.
Yeah.
It's not okay to just stay at the top. Nobody just stays at the top. I hear what you're saying. I don't watch a lot of wrestling, but it sounds like you had some grievances. I'm guessing with the Daniel Bryan situation. I know enough about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to have a hard time with that now.
Yeah, exactly. Where do you go from there?
Oh, but, you know, they did it well.
Yeah.
But So what are you trying to say? Like, what the hell am I going to do with the rest of my career? Probably nothing. I'm
going to
fail.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, as an artist, would you consider it? I'm not implying anything. I'm just saying, would you consider it at all?
Well, I haven't hit the top, so I don't have to worry.
That's true as well. I mean, these are trophies.
You didn't have to jump so quickly on that statement.
This is the most pleasant disagreement I've ever had with anybody in my life. You are a treat, good sir.
Ah, thank you.
Excellent. All right, so you're doing the Park Theater on May 31st in Winnipeg, doing a couple shows there. Can I ask, normally I see you at like Rumors Comedy Club, and not to discredit Rumors, but why the change in venue?
The Park Theater was kind enough to ask me.
Oh.
Thank you very much. You can take that, yeah. Sorry, the waitress came over.
Where are you right now?
I'm in a pub on Bay Street in Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it
having a Guinness while I speak with you?
Okay, that's very subtle. I do
Thank
love
you.
Guinness, though. I just went to a bar called The Grove here in Winnipeg. I recommend stopping there when you're in town. I tried.
I believe I've been there.
Really?
I believe I have. Is it new or?
It's relatively newer, yes, and it's the menu they just expanded. They have fried chicken and waffles there now, which is
oh my god!
Yes, very good. I've never tried that combination before.
Okay. So your question, getting on to chicken and waffles.
Well, we could stay on that subject for the rest of the show if you want.
Oh man, I'd love to talk about chicken and waffles. So I started. I left Yucks, and I left. I was starting to put on my own shows, like producing my own shows.
Yeah.
I'd done Ottawa, Toronto, and Kitchener, and the fine people at Park Theater said, hey, why don't you come here? And I have a nice following in Winnipeg. I find the people in Winnipeg are really good comedy fans.
Yeah.
Traveling around this country, I've done many shows where, you know, as a comic, you do really well and you think, oh, I should check my Twitter feed because I probably gained about 1,000 followers.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing. Winnipeg are the kind of people that seek you out. And that's a very American way of looking at things. I don't know why it happens there. But when you finish a show in Winnipeg, they seek you out. Now, you live there, you might disagree, but
I'm very much one of those people. Like, I did the comedy festival, I was backstage, and I got to meet some really nice people, like Ali Hassan, and I got to chat with Winston Spear, who I, you know, used to watch his comedy specials when I was a teenager. I got to meet John Wing Jr., and all these people, like, afterwards, I'm adding them on Twitter, and they're adding me back, and we're tweeting. Tom Green, actually, follows me on Twitter now because of a short conversation we had. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
But there's that vibe in Winnipeg I've found, that it's great. Winnipeg and Ottawa are the two places. Toronto, forget about it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Winnipeg, I don't know what it is. Every time I go there, I meet more people and more people come out and they seem to like what I'm doing. And so it's great. I love coming there.
Yeah. Well, we're a lot of, I think there's just a lot of artistic people in Winnipeg because we look at this like bland, like slab of a city. And then we just, you know, we just hope and we pray that
you want to create things that are colorful.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So you're into podcasting, yourself. I mean, it seems like, everybody from people who are just starting comedy to people who are very well established are into the podcasting market. I really do enjoy your show, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, no problem.
That's really kind.
No, well, you know, I've been following it for a while, and congratulations on 50 episodes.
Oh, thanks. We really did not think we'd get there.
No.
I thought, honestly, I started it as a lark and thought I would get bored of it.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying it, and I love working with Eric Andrews. He's an interesting human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're having fun. Do you enjoy it?
I really enjoy podcasting. It's for me, it's an experience where every week I get to put something new out. And
yes,
so because
it's very, yes, I agree. You get to create something, and no one can touch it, and it's yours.
Yeah,
there's something kind of really great about that.
It's very unregulated as well. No one is kind of over your shoulder going, "Well, you can't do that, or you can't talk about that, or
100%."
And I'm not saying that those voices would be there, even if people heard maybe your show or my show or anything like that. But I still think that, you know, you have to have that freedom to say what you need to, because this is like, especially if you're a comedian, I think you really need a chance to sort of talk and get all of it out, like almost like verbally vomit until you've hit the bile of it. And, you know.
Yeah. I agree.
That's a very nasty vomiting metaphor. I'm sorry. But yeah, so I mean, have you ever like developed an idea in the show that you're using on stage now, or?
A couple times. And the weird thing was I kind of did it backwards. Well, I guess you had to do it backwards, but I talked about some stuff on the podcast, and then I was just sitting wondering why I couldn't write for like 2 weeks. And then I thought back to stuff I did on the podcast and was like, well, wait a minute, why am I not using that idea? And there's almost a bit of feeling, I was feeling a weird thing of like, well, I've already said that. But then I'm like, well, that's what stand-up is.
Yeah.
You're constantly saying the same things over and over. So yeah, maybe, you know, our 20 listeners heard it, but why not turn it into a bit? And so yeah, I've started really paying attention to what comes out off the cuff ideas and then trying to use them on stage. It's kind of nice to figure that out.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that it took me that long, but.
Well, it almost feels like you've already tread on that territory, right? I mean, some people kind of really put down comedians that go up on stage and just sort of read things they wrote on Twitter, right?
Right.
But I
mean...
Yeah,
there is that, yes, there is that snobbery, that weirdness. And it's like, why?
I don't have an answer. I don't know.
Yeah, there is no answer. It's one of those self-imposed comic things that no one else cares about.
Yeah.
No one else cares about it.
It's the more time I spend, and I love stand-up comedy, but the more time I spend around comedy, I'm just like, there are so many of these unwritten rules. Do you feel like there's just too many, like, situations where you feel like, it's almost like being in the mob. It's like, oh no, you're not supposed to shake his hand that way, or oh no, you're not supposed to, I don't know, do you think that's a valid metaphor, or?
And you know what? Once you let all that shit go,
yeah,
that's when you start getting really good. Because once you stop worrying about the goddamn other comics,
yeah,
which we all do, it's all in the back of our heads. Once you start not worrying about that, it gets so freeing, so easy. Because all these rules are, the general public does not care. They could care less. In fact, they get angry when they don't hear a joke that you've done. Or they almost get excited if they're like, hey, you talked about that on Twitter. You talked about that on the podcast. Amazing that I got to see it evolve.
Yeah.
That's the way human beings think. Comics are all just so negative.
Well, it's like if you see Mark Maron's new stand-up special, Thinky Pain, a lot of that is this stuff he talks about in the preamble to WTF.
100%.
Yeah.
So he's using that to build his act, and it's great. Good for him.
That's a cult following that he's developed, just based entirely around, you know, just talking about his personal situation very candidly.
100%. I've said 100% like 3 times on this. Apologize.
I say that all the time when I'm drinking, so I'm kind of with you there.
I'm trying to cut it out of my vocabulary.
Yeah, 100%?
Yeah, I don't know why. I just don't like it.
I'm trying to cut absolutely out of my vocabulary because I was listening back.
The word absolutely.
Yeah, just because I keep saying it, like in interviews and in conversations. I listen to old podcasts and I have to listen to my voice. Like, do you edit your show?
No.
Okay.
The odd time I did. I edit like when I want to fuck with Eric. Like in the most recent one, it was about musicals, and we both sang live. a musical number.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I edited mine out and put in an actual Broadway singer and then left his. So, I mean, I edit in an asshole way, but no, we usually just let it go.
Yeah. Editing is... I think actually this kind of goes back to, well, before I say this, actually editing to me is like, if you hear your voice over and over and over again, eventually you're like, I have to stop saying those words. It's getting really, it's really irritating. And if I was someone else, I'd be very annoyed with me right now. But I was going
to
say.
Well, yeah, you must find, like, you have the beauty of having a podcast that you listen to and you edit and you work with. And every human being should almost record themselves talking. And have to listen back to it and then go, whoa, I didn't realize I was such a big lover of the word absolutely or whatever you notice.
Yeah. For
that's the beauty of podcasts, because I also notice that I laugh with a wheeze so much and I hate it. So I'm trying so hard to stop it, but it's impossible.
Yeah.
But I never would have noticed that without the podcast.
Yeah, and I think you were talking about like the sort of prank you play on your co-host, and I think that's interesting because I think that a well-developed a prank around two people when you personally have a sense of humor that kind of gels well, and you can play it on one another, and it's like if there's still sort of a love to it, if there's still like, oh, he got me, but I still have a chance to get him back, I still have an opportunity to you know, one up him in some way or another, and just so long as at the end of the day you aren't killing each other over it. I think that's completely healthy, and I think that's what the whole problem with the whole morning radio situation is that they quickly humiliate you and then just pass you along, and they're like, oh, we got him good, but they know nothing about you. There's no context to it, right?
Yeah, the games they play are just mean, and I don't like that bullying sort of humor that...
Yeah.
That, we made a fool of that human being. Everybody's got their fucking problem.
Yeah.
Who am I to rip them apart? But yeah, I love, especially on our podcast, Eric is such a good sport. And, we're great friends off the air, but when we go on air, it's almost like he knows his role, I know my role, and we just play it. Yeah. And people are always like, why are you so mean to me? It's so lovely. I'm like, well, that's the show. But, yeah, I know what you're saying, though. I do.
Yeah.
Morning radio should just stop. And you know what? Anyone who listens to it, you could almost pick them out of society.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a very specific type.
Yeah, they're big guys that go to dances at the Legion with their pickup truck.
Yeah. Have you...
And they screw around on Cheryl.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a musician from Southern Ontario named B.A. Johnston by any chance?
P.A. Johnston?
B.A. Johnston, like Bachelor of Arts
like
Johnston.
Like B.A. Baracus?
Yeah, like B.A. Baracus, yeah.
Oh, you went for Bachelor of Arts, and I went for Mr. T.
That's funny. he has a song called "The Eye of the Douche Storm," or "We're Entering the Eye of the Douche Storm," and he basically describes that individual to a T. Like, you know, I've never seen so many faux hawks. It's my least favorite hawk, next to mohawk or real hawk, is one of the lines. And
okay,
yeah, it's an entertaining bit. I recommend looking it up. It's almost a fun way to just passive aggressively, mentally sort of mock people without having to go through the effort of, you know, seeking these people out.
Right.
Anyways, I don't know, I'm digressing here. In terms of, you just released a record recently, correct? A comedy record?
I did.
Yes.
I did. I released my first record and been doing it 15 years, and I thought, you know what? I think I have enough material to pass off a garbage album. And no, it's good. It's been, you know, it's nice. It's weird.
Yeah.
Canadians don't exactly love when you promote things.
Really?
Yeah, I find that. but yeah, it's been great. It got a lovely review from Now Magazine here in Toronto.
Yeah.
And it's been selling, and I've been making money on it. So, who knew?
Yeah.
And it's playing on XM Radio. I have a real problem with thinking anyone would want to listen to me still, and I'm 15 years in.
How so?
My agent kept telling me to make an album.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I couldn't get my brain to think someone would pay $9.99 to buy anything I had to say. Even though I've been doing stand-up for 15 years and people have been coming.
Yeah.
I still have a bit of a problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of like, when I started and I remember the headliners, I had them at such a high level that I still don't really call myself a headliner.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird, I know, but the way I feel. I feel too in comedy now, the kids, the younger comics want to call themselves headliners way too soon.
It's true.
There's so many independent shows that people put posters and go, here's your headliner. And I would shy totally away from that.
But I mean, there's a comic in Winnipeg named Andy Noble. He's only been doing it for 1 year, and the whole reason he's only been doing it for 1 year is because he's been a comedy fan for years, and he said, "I'm not going up and doing 5 minutes until I am 100% comfortable talking about the things I want to talk about on stage."
Okay.
That act of self-preservation, is that not telling yourself, "Oh, I'm not sure if I'm a headliner," is that not just incentive to keep working harder at it, so that when you do feel like you're finally a headliner, you're doing exactly what you want to do, rather than sort of putting the cart before the horse?
I think that's partly it. I think it's partly I still have the drive, and I don't think I'm finished.
No.
I don't think any comic ever is. But I think a lot of them settle early, and I have a fear of that, and I don't want to be that.
No,
if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, you don't want to feel like you're ever on top of the world. You don't want to feel like you just won the world title and then that's it. That's the end of your story, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just find some comics are looking for the name headliner. They're looking for the accolades. They're looking for the thing, but they're not looking for a great act. And that sounds really mean, but
yeah,
that's the way I feel. I held the headliners I came up watching in high regard. And some of them not in high regard, don't get me wrong. Some of them were atrocious.
Yeah.
And atrocious people. But we all had our people that we watched and went, okay, I wanna get to that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is in my brain. It just won't let me say that I'm that yet. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to have a poster that says, I think it's okay to put on your own shows when you're a young comic. I think it's okay to promote yourself, the piss out of it. I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
I just personally wouldn't go, and your headliner so-and-so.
It's like the punk band that celebrates putting out like their EP. The EP is like 5 minutes long. Every song is like 30 seconds. And while there's some potential and a lot of hope there, the fact that they're headlining a show and they're like, we're the main attraction, we're the main feature, doesn't really mean anything until they've accomplished something with themselves other than, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not that I don't love punk bands.
I would just like comics to have a bit more humility at times
and
a little more. It's okay to take time with stand-up. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge, I'm not a dickhead about stand-up comedy.
Right.
I think everybody's going to take their own path. That's the way I look at it. And I have no rules the way that most people do. But also just be, the only thing I say is like, just be self-aware.
Yeah.
Just be truly self-aware. Do you know what I mean? Like, know exactly where you are. I know where I am. I'm not touring this country. I'm not known walking down the street.
Right.
But I can fill a room here and there. But I'm nobody in the sense of it. So I know that. And some people go, oh, come on, don't say that about yourself. I'm like, no, that's what I am. It's like being fat. When you go, hey, I'm fat, and people go, no, you're not fat. It's like, what are you talking about? I have a scale at home that tells me I'm fat. Well, you're not being a good friend.
No, and I think that there's something to be said about that, too. I mean, people just, they just have to say, like, you know, I have a thing with mourning. I don't like when people come up to me when I'm mourning and they say things like, oh, don't worry, she's in a better place now, or, oh,
yeah,
she's,
fuck off.
Yeah, it's like, I know that. The only words you have to say to acknowledge that is, that sucks. Those two words, hey, my grandma died. Well, that sucks. That's
sucks.
All I need to hear. All I need to know is, yes, you've acknowledged the fact that I'm going through a tough time, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, that's a whole other human condition to, well, I'm going to try and fix the fact that your grandma died.
Yeah.
Like, hang on there, egomaniac.
Yeah.
unless you can bring her back, fuckhard, shut up.
Yeah, it's in relationships, too. You ever been, like, miserable in a relationship and have somebody be like, well, I'm, like, passive-aggressively be like, well, a lot of good it's doing having me around or whatever, or just kind of get upset and insecure about the fact that you're upset or insecure about something? Like,
yes.
they take on, like, they're like a parasite taking on that worry?
It's like, 100%. It's like, I said it again. I gotta take a drink.
All right. I think it's becoming a drinking game for those of you at home listening to this when it airs. Every time that Mark says 100%, you take a drink.
100%, you got a drink.
Every time I say absolutely, you take a drink. Absolutely 100%. That would be if we ever did a podcast.
Oh, my God. That would be...
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go on a bender.
Yeah, that's exactly. If we ever did a podcast together, it would be called that, I think. But like an
bender?
Absolutely 100%.
Okay, absolutely 100%. I'm ready.
Yeah, and it could be a show about the two of us getting in shape. I don't know.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm up for that.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I've always really loved about comedy in Canada, like I say, it was part of my upbringing, you know, watching the Comedy Network, watching the Just for Laughs Festival on CBC and everything. And I say it all the time, like, we're very fortunate that we have a major comedy festival and that CBC just doesn't have enough homegrown content. That they just, that they are constantly exposing us to funny people. And it's not just Canadian comics, it's American comics, it's English comics. We are being exposed to comedy from around the world in order to fill time, to some CRTC requirement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, it's also really good for bringing up comics and giving people, an opportunity to sort of hash out their ideas. You see shows like Corner Gas, or the show you've been on, Mr. D. You see these programs coming on, CBC, and you see these comic veterans, getting an opportunity to sort of pen the kind of show they want to watch, because CBC is constantly looking to fill the airtime with Canadian content, and sometimes you get a gem, sometimes you get a dud, sometimes you get the littlest hobo. It's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But how is it being on CBC? I mean, obviously you say you don't get recognized too much in the street, but how has that been for your career otherwise?
CBC has been great to me. The network has been great to me. I left the show, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be in the next season.
Oh.
But I'm still working with them because they like what I do.
Yeah.
And but I agree with you. I think they get a really bad rap. I don't know if you get it out there in Winnipeg, but people are hard on the CBC. And the CBC has no money. They already have this stigma of the beachcombers, all that stuff that they're still trying to shake off 20 years later. Oh, I think a bachelorette party just entered.
Oh, man. Which is never good for a stand-up comedian.
No. Not in interviews, and I hope it's not too noisy here. It's turning into a party zone.
I'm just trying to imagine what you're sitting in right now. I feel like we're doing like an on.
Here's the thing. I found a booth in the corner of this lovely pub where no one was back here. Like the girl was using one of those vacuums that's not even electric. Do you know what I mean? It was 3 a.m. and the place was shutting down.
Yeah.
And now all these work jerks are coming in to drink their martinis and their popcorn shrimp.
Yeah. Well, I won't keep you for too much longer, but there is a stigma with CBC. I think the CBC is to to Stephen Harper, because he is like the number one opposed to. Like, he's had, like, referendums around it.
He would love to crush it, and he has. He has with the funding.
Yeah.
And, of course, when they lost hockey, they've just been struggling. They've lost 800 jobs. And the general public wants to shit on it. But the funny thing is the BBC, all this brilliance comes from the BBC.
Yeah.
And then it gets turned into American shows, and American don't even know that that's happening.
Yeah.
And we could be doing that here if people would just let the CBC be something. But you know how many conversations I've had with people that are like, oh, I'm making a show with my tax dollars? And it's like, yep.
But the same people turn
around. We're trying to make entertainment and culture, and it's a public broadcaster. They're in every country in the world.
Yeah.
Here, there's this anger towards it.
It's silly, though. It's absolutely silly. It just feels completely unnecessary. I've been to rallies to protect CBC, and there were tons of, like, I was living in Sudbury, Ontario. They flooded City Hall, Sudbury, Ontario, with people who wanted to keep CBC up and running. And like the show hosts who aren't following I'm talking about radio, of course. And the show hosts who are not the morning DJ jock guys, the people who have very nice, pleasant interviews, friendly Canadian interviews, and actually kind of hit the root of conversation, like good topics with people, we're going up on the stage, like these very plain clothed, like normal people in their mid 30s, and they were getting the kind of applause that like Eddie Van Halen would get, walking out on stage. And it's really a shame to see something like that. I was going to say CBC is to Stephen Harper what Kanye West is to President Barack Obama. Like there's just a hatred there.
Yeah. It's weird, but there's also a stigma in our country of not truly embracing our talent. And that goes hand in hand with the CBC because we put a stigma on every Canadian show before we even watch it.
Yes.
If we know it's Canadian, we're already not interested. So, how do you make television in a country where we all hate Canadian television? The funny thing about shows I've been on is a lot of people go, well, at least it doesn't look Canadian. And it's like, what are we doing? Why can't we like what we do?
Yeah.
Why can't we embrace our comics before they leave? Why can't we embrace our actors before they go? It's such a weird Canadian thing. It's almost like we go, yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
That's kind of what it is, yeah. That's kind of how I've always felt. Oh, you're kind of funny. Why don't you do this for me?
Yeah, that was a really funny show at the comedy club tonight. Yeah. Yeah, that guy will figure it out.
Yeah, he'll figure it out. We're good. We'll just let him keep going on, keep on trucking.
But the thing is, I've done shows in the States, and when you get off stage, they go, where can I buy your album?
Yeah.
What's your Twitter handle? and when are you coming back?
That's amazing.
And here we just don't do that. It's weird. But in Winnipeg, they do. Winnipeg, May 31st, Park Theater.
Before I let you go, Mark, I wanted to ask, one of the big things I like to do, at the end of every, interview, when I'm talking to anyone, musicians, comedians, whoever, is you could pay it forward to any other Canadian performer or any other performer in general, comedian, musician, artist, anything. If there's anyone that you need the world to know about, besides yourself, May 31st at the Park Theater here in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Oh my God. Can they already be kind of famous?
Yeah, you can do that.
Oh my God. You have to watch Andy Daly's review.
Okay.
That show is the best thing in the world. If you like, not really dark, but all I can say is the man's genius.
Yeah.
So his name's Andy Daly. He's been in a ton of movies.
Yeah.
But he has his own show called Review. Dear God, you gotta watch it.
Yeah, he's, I love his podcast appearances especially.
His podcast is so great.
Yeah.
Podcast is so great. I'm disappointed there's not more out, but I think he's been busy.
Yeah.
And have you watched the show?
I have yet to watch the show,
dude,
unfortunately.
Watch the show. I didn't mean to dude you.
That's okay. I don't
but
mind,
you've
dude.
You gotta watch that show.
Yeah.
It is so good, and it just gets better each episode.
I'm,
unreal.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing
it.
Yeah.
What is exciting to me in comedy right now is that show.
Excellent, yeah. And so people can follow you, what on Twitter is your handle?
Mark_forward.
Okay, @Mark_forward.
Yeah, and the podcast is the Mark Forward Podcast.
Mark Forward Podcast. They can find you on Facebook. They can find your comedy on YouTube. Your comedy album was just recently released as well.
Yeah, Things I Thought Of is on iTunes.
Yes, is available on iTunes. I just recently purchased it, and it came with some cover art that I found rather adorable. And,
oh, thanks. I'm a monster American flag.
and yeah, thank you so much for doing the show. This
well,
has been a
so
real
much
treat.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's nice to meet you.
So thank you to Mark Forward for doing that interview. There you have it, folks. You can check out Mark Forward on Saturday, May 31st at the Park Theater here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Tickets are $17 in advance. What a stand-up guy. No pun intended. That's a really stupid joke. I shouldn't have said that. Tickets are also flying for Folk and Word. That's a show I'm putting on May 30th at the West End Cultural Center. You can get your tickets for that at the Winnipeg Folk Festival Music Store. You can get them at Music Trader or at the West End Cultural Center itself. We're hoping to sell it out, and it's looking good. Remember, follow me at Mr. Matt Moskal on Twitter. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. Put it on a playlist on Stitcher. Check us out on Tumblr even. We have a nice aesthetically pleasing site there. Find us on Facebook. Review us on iTunes. Leave a few stars, some positive comments. I'm sick of telling you what to do. Damn it. Our theme music is The Golden Age of Ballooning, as performed by Tyson Brinacombe. And the song you're hearing to play us out is It's Nice to Meet You by NASA off of their Troubled Heart EP. Check that out on bandcamp.com. And I'll be playing a show with them at Real Love Festival. And hopefully you can feel the love there. Yeah. Shane Moss is on the show next week. Shane Moss of the Double Date podcast, as well as five-time Conan O'Brien guest from La Crosse, Wisconsin, Shane Moss. We have a really good chat. We talk about psychedelic drugs and the human brain, and women are from Venus, men are from Mars. I don't know how that got in there, but it did. I really enjoyed Shane, and I think you're really going to enjoy him too. But I also really think you're going to enjoy Mark Forward
May 31st at the Park Theater in Winnipeg, Manitoba for $17 a ticket. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Matt Moskal. Remember that everybody opens for somebody sometime. And I'm out of here.